Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Swami Sri Bhakti Vedanta Prabhu Padaya Te Namaha. Today marks the disappearance of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder of the worldwide Krishna consciousness movement. As I mentioned the other day, the very expression Krishna consciousness comes from Srila Prabhupada. You won't find it used anywhere previously. So he coined that term. Really the basis of his movement of extending and expanding Krishna consciousness to everyone in the world. We know when Srila Saraswati Thakur was asked by one man what was his campaign or his intention of Sri Gaudiya Math and its missions. And he said, so is your idea to establish a temple in every major city in the world, or what would you consider success? And Saraswati Thakur answered saying, no, my idea is to establish a temple of Krishna consciousness in the heart of every living being. And it was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who infused this conception into the hearts of his genuine followers and disciples. As we mentioned, quoting Srila Guru Maharaj's prayers and praise of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, saying, what brought Saraswati Thakur down to this world was the, how did you put it, the wealth in the melted heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Right? Like Radha Bhavani Shivani. The Guru Dham Granthadam Gaura, Namadam Damadam Buddha Muda, Bhakti Dham Buritam Bande, Bhakti Vinodadam Sada. The whole wealth of the Krishna consciousness movement is springing from the melted heart of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Being attracted to that, Srila Saraswati Thakur came down in this world and it's amazing that actually he was somewhat reluctant, his nature being reclusive, engaging in nirjan bhajan, intense internal spiritual culture in the jungle of Mayapur at that time. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur inspiring him to come out and begin the revolutionary activities of Sri Gaudiya Math. And he established so many missions throughout India, sometimes saying that he wanted to reveal the full glory of the Dham, for example, in Navadvip. And he would talk about jeweled temples and fountains and roads, as we sometimes discuss, and the devotees would say, Prabhupada, how are we going to pay from that? All of that. You know, they're tabulating the cost. Let's see, one jeweled temple. And he said, oh, don't worry about that. And Gurmur said, he's saying this like in an intensely, deeply inspired state. And he's saying, I will take one brick from a Vaikuntha temple where everything is Chintamani, and that will more than cover the cost of everything. So don't worry about that. But repeatedly, he was telling his disciples that the real mission of Sri Gaudiya Math was, in a phrase Guru Maharaj attributes to him, he'd say, Western civilization, crush it. He wanted to take Krishna consciousness to the Western world. Particularly America and the English language, have Krishna consciousness expressed in the English language to the English-speaking countries, and with the prominent position of America, then by extension it will go to others. And there was some lamentation on his part when it was mentioned, when he was praised for the success of Gaudiya Math, that he'd say, oh, but we still didn't take it to Markinalok, America. And we hear from Srila Guru Maharaj that Srila Saraswati Thakur was planning on spending the next 10 years of his life preaching in the West himself. He left the world at 62, 63 years of age. And to, when you send something first to then establish a military campaign later, more than scout, but like the first group to go and like gain a stronghold, he published the book Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And the idea was he would send some disciples there, they would establish a stronghold, and then he would come and himself preach for the next 10 years of his manifest pastimes in the West. Then he left the world. So Srila Sridharmaya said, but Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he gave our Guru Maharaj those 10 years. Right. Through him, it was realized. When they would discuss these Prabhupada's success, he would sometimes say to Srila Sridharmaya, do you remember when Prabhupada told me that I should go, and preach in America and English? And Guru Maharaj said, because Saraswati Thakur was saying that so consistently to his followers, said, I couldn't remember precisely what he was talking about because it was that extensive. This wasn't just a one-time thing that he expressed something, but he was consistently saying that this was his desire. Right? And also interestingly, when other members of the Gaudiya Math wanted to engage Prabhupada, who was then Abhay Charanaravinda, they thought like, this, very inspiring grihastha, it would be nice if he could serve at the local mat. And Saraswati Thakur was saying, no, don't worry about him. Leave him alone. What he's meant to do, that will come in time. But how he came to that point is noteworthy. Because it would be incorrect to think that Srila Prabhupada started preaching in 1965 or when he went to America. We know from his life story, he's always preaching. Right? Even as a child, we hear that his pastime was Rath Yatra, which again is interesting, right? Not accidental. That as a child, he has a Rath cart and with the Jagannath deities and is organizing, prasadam's being made, distributed, there's kirtan players, he's organizing the children to celebrate this festival. Right. So he's, say his lila or his divine pastimes play out, he's showing the position of a inventor, a pharmacist, a chemist. Indira Gandhi was one of his clients. When she was a teenage girl, she would come. He called her Indu. That was her nickname. Later, when he was Prabhupada and had the International Society for Krishna Consciousness all over the world and had to meet with her, she was a little embarrassed and said, "You didn't have to come yourself. You could have sent one of your representatives." Remember, but remember back in Prayag, the Prayag, you know, Allahabad, you would come and get medicine. So Prabhupada, it appears he had some long-term strategy. But he would be the first person to say, you know, you have your plans, I have my plans, and Krishna has his plans. So sometimes we wonder, what was Krishna's plan for all of this? Because Prabhupada's ready to do the desired service from the beginning. That's always his mood, to do the desired service. One of his operative phrase is do the needful. If you're confused about what should be done, do the needful, the thing that needs to be done the most. That's where you should give your attention. But as the Leela would play out, he would say, one of his friends told him to, there's this great sadhu who's giving talks in Calcutta, and you should come and hear him. And Prabhupada was naturally skeptical. Oh, there's these sadhus in Bengal. How many of them are real? You know, it's like yoga mayic dramatic tension. You say, no, this one, you really got to come and hear him. As we heard previously, that when they were telling Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj what was the person who helped Guru Maharaj, gave the land at the Mat? Starts with an S. Sakhi Charan. They're saying, there's this Babaji and Navadvip. If you go, oh, these Babajis, they're all bogus, they're all cheaters, they're all imitationists. No, there's one real one left. What is his name? Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. They went, arrived on his disappearance day. Saraswati Thakur comes, by the divine arrangement they meet. So Prabhupada expressed some similar skepticism. He said, but my friend insisted. No, you must come and hear. And on a rooftop in Calcutta, he heard Srila Saraswati Thakur speak. And Prabhupada would say, I argued in favor of Indian independence. Sometimes he'll say, I was a young man wearing khadi when he met his Guru Maharaj. You're saying, he's not informing us of his style choices. When he says a young man wearing khadi, that means a member of Gandhi's independence movement. They only wore khadi, you know, made, that's what he means to say. So he said, I said to Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, first we should get independence, and then, because who will take us seriously if we don't have independence? So let us get independence, and then we will promote Mahaprabhu's creed, culture, civilization. And Prabhupada said, but my Guru Maharaj defeated me. It was a natural defeat. He said, no, now forget about independence. That's a political, societal, political concern. Now, come forward, dedicate yourself to Mahaprabhu, the promotion of his Krishna conception. As Guru Maharaj said once, and he was one of the pilgrims are leaving after the Gaur Purnima festival, and Srila Saraswati Thakur, everyone's giving their dandavats leaving, You think this would normally be the time where you would express some gratitude, appreciation for those who have come and everything. And instead, Saraswati Thakur starts saying, "Don't cheat me! Don't cheat me!" And everyone like, "What?" And he's saying, "You came here for a purpose, right? To dedicate yourself to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and promote the same. Don't just come on this day and then go back to your house. No, we've come in connection for a reason, for a purpose." Just as on the parikrama, sometimes things, there are logistics problems. Right? It's not only for us, but in the time of Gaudiya Math, and we're told there was some dissension amongst the parikramis about the facilities, about this or that, and then Saraswati Thakur told Ban Maharaj to go and deal with this, and he told them, "There are many who are better at organizing than us. You didn't come to us because we have some superior organizational skills." He said, "But for another purpose, there's something else here that even the best organizers in the world, they do not possess. They don't have that substance. So please, in deference to that substance, forgive the inadequacies that there may be on a superficial level." So Saraswati Thakur imploring the people, "No, you've come here. Krishna's brought us in connection with one another for a reason." So through the agency of one of his friends, the two Prabhupadas, Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, they come together. And Prabhupada said when he would be back in his pharmacy or lab, whatever he was doing, he said sometimes he would stop and think and look like in his mind's eye, the heart's eye, and think like, "Oh, I met such a wonderful sadhu." He would see the vision of Saraswati Thakur. Right? And still, he's going on with his life, and just as we could say many of his disciples and devotees on to this day, they have some dreams or fantasies about if they are successful materially, how they would promote Krishna consciousness. Right? They're saying, "I'll do this business, and even if it's successful with the profits, I'll make a beautiful temple, or we'll promote Krishna consciousness and with great resources, facilities." It's a dream that many or all devotees have. Prabhupada also thought like that. If this business is successful or some of my inventions go to market and they're successful, then with the funds from that, how I will promote Krishna consciousness. And not to demean the dreams or fantasies of others, but it's Prabhupada's day, and I'm going to say, if anyone we could believe it's true, it would be Prabhupada. Because what others will do if they become tremendously successful or suddenly have a windfall of monetary assets, we would hope that they would use it for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. But in Prabhupada's case, we know that would be true. So then we might think, well, why didn't Krishna allow it to happen then? And in fact, the opposite happens. Right? At this meeting, at the inauguration of the Chaitanya Chandradwaya Mandir in Mayapur, the international headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, when for the inaugural, Srila Prabhupada invited Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Govinda Maharaj to come. And you can hear the talk. It's difficult to catch everything, because it wasn't recorded that well. They're talking about how they met and referencing their former lives. And at one point, Srila Prabhupada says this and chuckles But I'm sure it wasn't funny at the time, but he quotes this famous verse late in the 10th canto where it says, Yasyaham anugranami harishe tadanam shanai. It's similar to what we were just discussing, where Krishna, it says, if Krishna favors you, he takes everything away from you. And then Prabhupada starts laughing, because that's what happened. So think about this. In essence, we have someone who couldn't be more sincere in their earnestness to satisfy the order of their Guru Maharaj. And what does Krishna do? Does he flood them with resources? Not at this time. He takes everything away from them. Then we might think, why does Krishna do this? It seems to be fairly consistent. His dearest devotee, we just celebrated the Govardhan Puja, they're plunged into the most adverse circumstances, life-threatening circumstances. Because this is where devotion will shine. This is where the real devotees rise to the occasion. When what's the sort of wealth, devotional wealth in their hearts gets pushed to the put to the test, and what happens? It's just enriched. It goes deeper, becomes more firm. They don't become doubters, disbelievers, quitters. So one by one, whatever we could say, material prospects, where they're in his life, were eliminated. The reason that verse comes in the Bhagavatam is Parikshit Maharaj, I believe it's him, unless they're referring to another conversation, but it's put to Sukadeva that, why is it that Shiva, who's, we see something naked, he's wearing ashes, dressed in ashes, that means naked. He has nothing, not a care in the world, meditating underneath that 800 kilometers wide banyan tree that's very quiet. His followers are blessed with so much wealth and mundane assets. And then conversely, Vishnu, Narayan, he has the goddess of fortune massaging his holy lotus feet. And his devotees have nothing. You think, this is, shouldn't it be the inverse? Like, goddess of fortune at the lotus feet, devotee should have everything. But we see the inverse. Poor as a mot mouse, we might say. And then the followers of Shiva rolling in opulence. And Shiva there, naked, covered with ashes under the tree. What say you, Sukadeva? Because having mundane assets is not a blessing. It's generally a distraction. Jiva Goswami says, and the why the higher planets are not desirable for devotees. Too much sense enjoyment, bodily beauty, all you know, janma, aiswarya, shruti, sri, all these put together is a distraction from the spiritual project. Whereas when everything is taken away or living in modest circumstances, again, Prabhupada would like to quote the saying, simple living, high thinking, that idea. But here, what the verse says, it's a little more extreme. Hari She Tadana. First, his name is Hari. So you should have been tipped off right away. It means one who takes away. So you're worshiping the Lord who takes away. And then you're going to say, give me stuff? Oh Lord, who takes away everything? Here's a list of the, you know, things that I, my short list. Harishe tadanamjanai. Why does he do that? And why is it consistent in the past and Krishna Leela? Because it puts the devotee in the position of utter dependence. A lesser devotee will go seek shelter elsewhere. Durasaye ye bahir artamanina pralat, false shelter. We'll seek some, that means, and something external. But the test of true devotion, bipadak shantu tat sasva tatra tatra jagad guru, bhavato darshanam yatsyad apunar bhavadarshanam. Kunti, and Prabhupada liked Kunti's prayers so much. He lectured on them. Where she's saying that when we're put into adverse circumstances, then we're forced to remember you with greater earnestness and intensity. When everything's going well, we have a tendency to become forgetful, distracted. But we're placed into adverse circumstances, we're put into great difficulty, then our remembrance of you becomes very intense and our necessity very earnest. She's Queen Kunti. She can say, then to me, I'd rather be in the adverse circumstances. And that makes us nervous. Our palms start to sweat because we're saying, I can't, can I say that with in a meaningful way? No, but to know that there's someone who epitomizes that, personifies that type of devotion is hopeful. Right? She prays for the adverse circumstance because the outcome will be intensified devotion to Krishna. So one by one, as the material aspects of his life are falling away and apart. His sister, Bhavatarini Didi, otherwise known affectionately all the Pishima, like elder sister, she said, and remember, she's first initiated Saraswati Thakur, second initiated Goswami Maharaj, published Prapanna Jivanamritam, you know. She said to him, Prabhu, you're not meant for this. Right? Like the family affairs. You just, he had some children needed to be married. She says, we'll look after that. You go, go to Vrindavan with Vaishnava Maharaj, actually, on the roof in Bombay. This Srila Prabhupada, he was telling this story to us. And he said, because one man, I remember this man came, an Indian gentleman who was in the midst of making like marriage arrangements, but in very, like, you could see, like, an anxiety. And Prabhupada could be so blunt, but he could do it. Later he said, if you try to do this, they'll beat you. He said, you know, like, so don't try to imitate what he says or his style. You know. But Prabhupada said to the man, you know, he's like, yes, Swamiji. You know, and Prabhupada said, if you die, who will make the arrangements? I was like, you don't want to hear a sadhu say things like that, because what they say comes true. That if you die, who will make the arrangements? Bhagavan, you know, he didn't know. Prabhupada, yes, because Prabhupada has that faith, and he said, referring back to his Purva Ashram, and he goes, I had to make some arrangements like that. I tried. He said, my wife, she did not approve. Therefore, I said, let them all go to hell. Those very words. But he meant like, all right, I've tried to act responsibly, fulfill these so-called obligations up to a point. This is not what my life is meant for. As his sister said, Prabhu, we'll do that. You're just meant to preach. You go to Vrindavan. And we know he, actually, we're told, 22 met Saraswati Thakur, 33 initiated, 44 he starts Back to Godhead magazine, 55 approximately Vanaprastha, then on to sannyas. But in Vrindavan, and we know, we were just there, his room at the Sri Sri Radha Damodar temple, Jiva Goswami Prabhu's temple, there in the samadhi of Rupa Goswami, Bhajan Kutir, Jiva Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And there, he's preaching all along. So even there, if Govardhan Puja comes or a Janmashtami, you'll see he writes letters to local gentlemen, inviting them to come to his program. But he's also realizing the abandonment that occurs when someone moves exclusively in the direction of Krishna culture. So in one of his writings, he said, now here I am penniless in Vrindavan, and now that I've achieved the penniless stage, he said, all that remains of my former family life and connections is a long list of names. So he's saying, now that I don't have any money, no one wants to have anything to do with me. But even in that condition, Vilasatu Hridi Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Bani, as Guru Maharaj says in the last line of that pranam to Saraswati Thakur, the divine voice of Saraswati Thakur playing in his heart. You know, you're young, educated, intelligent, fluent in English. You should take Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking countries. So, and Prabhupada there, we saw in the archives of ISKCON Press, these like 11 by 14 sheets of paper. And I saw, you know, Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. That's like the first six chapters he'd done. That's why that book was published last, because he'd actually done it before. Everything else was done on the dictaphone. So why Adi Leela 7 is the first chapter ever printed? There's a reason for that. And that's another story. But seeing these, and I said, every word Prabhupada has written is significant. You know, whatever's on this paper, I have to give like my full attention to and try to understand. And then I turn over the next page, and it's like business contracts. And I'm like, at first, I'm like trying to understand how this is connected to Krishna consciousness. You know, like, what am I missing? We're talking about Mahaprabhu and turn the page over and it's all. And then I realized in time, Prabhupada had such small funds available that he was buying used paper. In India, they never throw anything away. So this was paper that had already been used, typed on in a business. And then, you know, you can sell that to a paper guy. They put it on a scale, weigh it, and they'll give you something for it. Because they know they can sell it to someone else. Prabhupada would buy that. In other words, he couldn't buy a ream of virgin paper. So he's buying paper that's already been typed on, turning it over, And using the blank side, the type, the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamritam, the light of the Bhagavat, and so many other things. That's called being undeterred. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. What he calls resolute determination to execute the order of Sri Guru. And he says that in reading Biswanath Chakrabarti Thakur's explanation of that sloka, it comes from Bhagavad Gita. He said he had an epiphany and he realized the disciple's sole purpose for existence is to fulfill the order of the Guru. They have no other reason to be alive than that. To use your, you know, as he would, your body, mind, words, intelligence, everything, exclusively in pursuing the fulfillment of the order of Sri Guru. Right? He's unparalleled in this type of exclusive dedication, never faltering, never wavering, never becoming distracted for a moment from this. Right? And that's why he liked this line, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Nabujoy. How cautious we should be in observing Vaishnavas and always try to see their servitor identity, because we may be misled by external observation. When he's living at Radha Damodar, maybe you saw him go to the market, buy some vegetables, go back to his room. You wouldn't know. He's in there typing Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, and is not wavering from this mission given to him by his Gurudev Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we know he approached the Sumati Morarji, the lady, she owns a steamship company. It's like freight from India to America, America to India. It's nothing for her to give him free passage on one of these ships. There's a few rooms. But the reason she keeps trying to delay and stall is she's thinking, he's so elderly that it's a 30-day voyage. What if he doesn't survive? And then I'll have like the death of a great sadhu on me. And that's why she's saying, oh, no, I don't think, you know, she's stalling, you know, until at last Krishna inspires her to agree. And for anyone who's staying in one of those cabins on the ship, they give them a little diary. It's a little white booklet that you can keep on your voyage. And Prabhupada's always meticulous accounting for everything. So I'm reading through that in the archives of ISKCON Press, and it'll seem like when they stop at some port before they've actually left India, what his marketing expenses are. You know, 70 paisa on this, 60 paisa, you know. He's always like that, keeping records of everything perfectly, you know, postage. You know. And but then the boat, because I think it goes first to South India, and then it leaves the southern tip of India, and now you're out in the middle of the ocean. And then a more internal aspect starts appearing in the pages of the diary. And he's reflecting on his situation. And if you think about it, from an objective point of view, you look out the window, all you see is water at this point. Just an infinite ocean. And the boat's just a speck at this point. And he says, now I'm feeling intense separation from my worshipable Lord, Sri Sri Radha Damodar, Radha Madan Mohan, Gopinath. He starts naming the principal deities of Vrindavan. And he's saying, and now feeling that separation, I'm also feeling utterly dependent upon their mercy. Right? And as he goes on, he suffers at least one heart attack, maybe two. Right? And if you look in those pages, it's like a gash going across the pages. So what Sumati Murarji feared is now happening. He has a heart attack in the middle of the ocean aboard this vessel. Right? And from a spiritually interpretive point of view, Srila Guru Maharaj is saying, and it's consistent with Prabhupada, what he himself said about exclusively dedicating yourself to the order of Sri Guru. He's saying at this point, he'd wholly emptied himself of any other consideration. This is atma nivedanam, atma samarpanam, to the extreme. Remember, Sridhar Swami, in his explanation of the Shravanam Kirtanam section of the Bhagavatam from Prahlad Maharaj, where it says atma nivedanam, he's saying it's only really devotion if you're doing it solely for the pleasure of the served, without any personal consideration. Guru Maharaj relates this to karmanyavadikaraste ma paleshu kadachana, which is can be karma misra or jnana misra. When your motive is, and Guru Maharaj's word, some tasteful benefit will come to you. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, this is the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur, what is revealed later in the poem, and Saraswati Thakur as the surrogate, Radharani's delegation, it can be considered an order from Srimati Radharani, right? Taken with that sort of seriousness. Right? It's coming from her. She alone knows what will please Krishna to the extreme. So Guru Maharaj is saying, having wholly emptied himself of any other consideration, no personal consideration other than literally, metaphorically, literally placing himself on the altar of self-sacrifice to the extreme, those waters. Right. As we heard, what does it mean to swim in the water, bathe in the waters of Radha Kunda? It means this level of divine sacrifice is to bathe in those waters. Right. He's saying, then divine power had to come down, descend, and work on his behalf. Right. And you say, why does Krishna take everything away? Why does he make him absent? Because plunging the devotees in the depths of separation, their hearts will yield the most superior type of Krishna prema that Krishna finds irresistible. What do we learn from Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Prasamrita Sindhu and Srila Guru Maharaj? Saying, where is real devotion? When the infinite comes under the control of the finite. And that should make us shudder. Should that be allowed? Right? Should Krishna consciousness be allowed? If the effects of pure Krishna consciousness is that the infinite is brought under the control of a finite, is that a good thing? Maybe we should reconsider this whole Krishna consciousness project. If the ultimate result, that's scary. Then Guru Maharaj is saying, yes, who is the finite that you can trust? The infinites come under their control. Well, Yashoda comes to mind. that level of so wholly given to the other that they can be entrusted on that level, that the infinite will work for them. Right? There won't be any unfortunate outcome. Rather, the only good fortune will be extended to everyone as an outcome of this. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa, where Krishna comes under the control of the devotee, the pure devotee. That's pure devotion. Only a devotee with the highest sort of pure, unconditional love can be entrusted with us. He's saying, and of course, Guru Maharaj can get more specific and saying, yes, because like Subarnavarna Hemango, Barangas Chandanagadi, Sanyasa Krishchamat Shanto, Nishta Shanti Parayana. The Subarnavarna, Nityananda Prabhu likes them very much. That line, Swami Maharaj Prabhupada descended in that line, their favorite to Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda, that avesh, that empower. Who does Nityananda come for? The most fallen souls. So, and Srila Prabhupada is given some reassurance by Krishna. He has a dream where he's saying, don't worry, Abhai, which shows Krishna a little sense of humor, because Abhai means not to worry. His name is Abhai. Don't worry, Abhai. The boat is under my control now. That's divine. And that captain writes, and how strange it is to see the ocean like a pond. There are no waves. I've never seen this in 30, 40 years. Captain's log. Right? And then Prabhupada arrives in America. And you would think, like, shouldn't that be enough? You know? But a year of, and oh, what's in his trunk? Those Bhagavatams that he typed in the Radha Damodar room, mridangas, kartals. He never catered or pandered to the audience. That was never his idea. Right? What is that thing they do when to see if the people like the movie or the thing? When they bring the group in a room, I'm just in awe of the level of ignorance. Hi, bless me. I mean that in a good way, the Jnana Shunya Bhaktas. There's a word for it. Screening. Yeah, screening like that, where they get a target group, a screen, and then the people watch something and go, well, I like the first part, but I couldn't understand what he was saying. You know, or they do like that. Focus group. Right. It reminds me of in Krishna Balaram Mandir, Prabhupada's giving this lecture. He loved these verses from Rishabhdev, where he said, Nayam deho deha bhajam liloke, kastan kamam arde bid bujamye. Where he says, Rishabhdev's telling his sons, like, tapo dibyam putraka yena sattvam. Shudhye jasmad brahmasokyam. My dear sons, don't try for those mundane pleasures, the kind that are available even to the stool-eating pigs, but rather engage in austerity and try for, you know, brahma is spiritual. But so it says vidbujam, the stool-eating, you know, the same pleasures available to them, which are, you know, what we could imagine or not imagine. But at one point he said, I was just on the airplane. The way he said this, he was saying, not only are they trying for the same pleasures of the stool-eating pigs, but they're even eating those things. And he said, I saw on the airplane, and he said like this, he goes, I do not know if they are taking at home. That means it was a flight with a bunch of Indians. Because they can go, no, we're non-bit, but on the airplane, you know. But he said, they have, what is that? What is it called? The pig's intestine? And then one devotee from England, way in the back, smart her, he goes, sausage! And Prabhupada says, just see, immediate answer. Like, what I can't for the life of me think of what it is, just see, immediate answer. So he's like, one minute he's like the one who answered the question, next moment, abject humiliation. But remember what Dostoevsky says, the most intense form of consciousness. So anyway, you would think that now he's in America, he almost died on the way over. Like, what more does Krishna want from you? To demonstrate your earnestness, your sincerity. But the dramatic tension of Krishna Leela, Yoga Maya, Prabhupada for a year, a program here, a program there, keeping his ingredients in the refrigerator next to the non-veg person, like, you know, roommates, Prabhupada roommates. He did it all. Right? And putting his books in bookstores. And then asking help from the God Brothers in India, saying, oh, I found the place on the Upper West Side, or, you know, beautiful buildings. And nothing. To the point where even Srila Prabhupada is thinking, I tried my best, getting some limited success. He said about like chanting in the park. Again, he's not pandering to the audience, the focus group, saying, I chant, why? I like to do this. I like to take the holy name of Krishna. I like to talk about Krishna, Mahaprabhu. I do it whether anybody shows up or not. But getting some limited success, but he's thinking, oh, maybe it's time to return. His health also is not good. And he goes down to the Sindhya steamship line to look at the chalkboard where they tell you the ship's names and when they're leaving and coming back, you know. And he's actually going to book a return journey. And that's when, of course, Hayagriva Prabhu comes up to him and says, like, excuse me, are you from India? Hare Krishna. Am I from India? I'm from Goloka Vrindavan. Descended here on a particular mission. And it's not lost upon us that he happens to be an English professor, so that he can edit books. And the rest is, we could say, as they say, you know, it's history, that Prabhupada gradually, so many young boys and girls come. You can see sort of the gradual evolution of how things take place. He's giving a talk and he'll say, he's talking about Krishna, and saying, just like we've all seen the posters in the marketplace or the calendars with the pictures of Krishna, and there's a dead silence in the audience. And you hear Prabhupada go, ooh. He's realizing these people have never seen a picture of Krishna. Starts an art department, he's got pictures, books, beautiful books illustrated with pictures. Ends up that hundreds, millions of these books are distributed in America and all around the world. And so many centers, so many temples, so many deities installed, until the whole world knows about Krishna consciousness. And once I was on a some morning show in Tomsk, you know, like, "Good morning, Tomsk," or something, you know. Like. And the person on the show is he's saying, like, "Well, how widely known is this Krishna consciousness movement?" And I'd just been then this in the Ukraine, and there's between Ukraine and Moldova, you know the name of this place? Called like Transnistria or something like that. It's a country that no one else accepts exists. Here's Ukraine, Moldova. If you want to go the shortcut, you go through this. It starts with trans. Like, anyway, it's this little country that no one, you know, people aren't sure about it. In other words, whether it exists or not. The rest of the world says it doesn't. They say they do. You know, they're working it out. But so if you want to go through there, that's the shortcut. You have to go in there and get a visa. And there's like a trailer, you know. And I went in to like get a visa because then you can save like 6 hours traveling. And when I enter like to get the visa, the man behind the counter goes, "Hare Krishna." So I said to the man on Tonks TV, said, "How widely is the movement known?" I said, "It is so well known that it's known in countries that do not even exist, okay?" You know. It's that extensive. But then 1976, finally at last, this Rath Yatra in New York, and in Prabhupada's own words, you know, in America, in New York City, on Fifth Avenue, the Rath Yatra. And we could say this and conclusion that Prabhupada was always promoting Krishna and presenting himself as a humble servitor of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was sincere about this. It was not opposing. It was what made him who he is. But Krishna always wants to glorify the devotees. So we could only think upon reflection that as he rode on Subhadra's chariot down Fifth Avenue, you know, with the street closed, New York's finest on either side, triumphantly, the person who came with $12 in his pocket, you know, left on this huge celebration, like Krishna's gift to his devotee, to shine the light on his devotion. Prabhupada is about promoting Krishna and Jagannath, and certainly it was. But Krishna wants us to know that really at the heart of the matter of Krishna consciousness is his devotee, and it's through his devotee that you get everything. And it's by his divine grace that we all can sit here today and have this talk. Regardless of our spiritual connections at present, it's all connected with him. None of us would have the spiritual connections that we have if not for his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and his compassion upon us all by deciding at great hardship and suffering to leave the relative comfort and peace and beauty of Vrindavan to bring the Krishna consciousness movement to the Western world. So in that verse, it has Suvarna Varna Hemango, and that line that's favored by Nityananda Prabhu, and he has a very golden looking form, Barangas Chandanagadi, always covered in Chandan, Samasikich, Shamat Shanto. He takes sannyas to save the world. What did it say at the top of the diary? The boat he's carried on, the name was the Jaladuta, means the water messenger. Like Rupa Goswami wrote Hangsuduta, swan messenger. Prabhupada's boat, the name of the boat is Jaladuta, water messenger. Right? And what does it say? The running heads at the top of each page in the diary. It says, "We carry India's message of peace and goodwill." Truer words were never. When we say Goddess Saraswati sometimes arranges for these things to be expressed or printed. So they're saying, what is this? What did we found this company to do? To, on the Jaladuta, on the water messenger, to carry the gift, Mahaprabhu's Krishna consciousness, you know, to the world. Some shanyasa krit chamat shantu nishta shanti parayana. So although conventionally that's from the Mahabharata and it's an encrypted verse about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's equally applicable to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and this disappearance day, which Guru Maharaj would say, by affection's force, separation, by affection's force, to draw us towards that plane where He resides in the upper abode and the spiritual world with Krishna. And he's, as he said in his poem, "I'm feeling so much separation from you, and I can't wait for that day again when we will run and play and frolic in the forests of Vrindavan and picnic on the banks of the Jamuna." Hare Krishna. And last, that, as we know, Saraswati Thakur, final days, saying, "I want to go to Govardhan and do my bhajan there, mystically appearing there after his, to one of his disciples after his disappearance." And Srila Prabhupada showing his siddhantic, ontological depth and substance, and his final day saying, where does he want? He's in Krishna Balaraman, Vrindavan, but saying repeatedly, he wants to go to Govardhan. And he's expressing something from his heart, from his internal aspect, because that is the plane indicated by the Prayojan Tattva, charge of this line, Raghunath Das Goswami, the best disciple, follower of Rupa Goswami, that is the place for the Bhakti Vinod Paribar, the Rupa Nugas, and Saraswati Thakur and his followers. And how did he want to go there but on a bullock cart? And that just plunged the devotees into an ocean of anxiety and just pleading with him not to do that in his fragile state, where like lying on his disappearance bed, Jayadvaita Swami working the dictaphone, probably translating the perhaps the 13th chapter, and it was Brahma Vimohan section of the Bhagavatam, to his last breath doing that seva. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada Tirubhav Mahamahotsavatiti Ki Jai. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Tirubhav Mahamahotsavatiti Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande. Hare Krishna.